Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Now, things are worse than we ever imagined. That's the stark message which the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer has just been delivering in the Downing Street Rose Garden this morning in front of a podium marked Fixing the Future. Let's listen.
Things are worse than we ever imagined. In the first few weeks, we discovered a £22 billion black hole in the public finances. And before anyone says, oh, this is just performative or playing politics, let's remember the OBR did not know about it. They wrote a letter setting that out. And they didn't know because the last government hid it. And even last Wednesday, we found out that thanks to the last government's recklessness, we borrowed almost £5 billion more than the OBR expected in the last 3 months alone.
This is the British Prime Minister Keir Starmer speaking in the last couple of minutes. Whitehall editor with the Financial Times, Lucy Fisher, was in the Downing Street Rose Garden listening to all of that and is on the line now. Good morning, Lucy.
Good morning.
So tell us a little bit about the setting, because it was in the Rose Garden, a place people will have heard a lot about in the past when it comes to Boris Johnson and COVID parties and so on. But Keir Starmer and the Labour Party had invited some voters in there this morning to listen to what he had to say.
Well, that's right. It was an audience of around 50 people, nurses, teachers, apprentices, firefighters, voters that Keir Starmer had met during the election campaign, invited in to this sort of symbolic setting, precisely so Keir Starmer could make reference to the previous use of the Downing Street premises and Rose Garden for lockdown-breaking parties, for that famous press conference by Dominic Cummings, then Boris Johnson's chief of staff, where he defended, breaking lockdown to go to Barnard Castle. And so Keir Starmer said that, you know, this marked the start of doing things differently under the Labour administration and restoring the use of those premises for the service of voters. He obviously wants to kick off the new term of Parliament as MPs return to come back to Westminster next week with this scene setter and quite a tough message, you know, warning people that things are going to get harder before they get better, and that the budget in October is going to be painful for many voters, and particularly serving notice that those with the broadest shoulders must bear the heavier burden.
Yeah, you just wonder how that message is going to go down, because there was a good portion of the general election campaign characterised by that row over whether Labour would increase taxes or not. And the Conservative Party continually hammered that message home. The Labour Party rejected it. Now look where we are.
Well, quite. And Keir Starmer was quizzed on those election pledges today. He said he stood by his vow not to raise national insurance, income tax or VAT, the main three levers of tax, which he says fall on working people. But he didn't shy away from the pitch rolling that his Chancellor, Rachel Reeves, has done, warning that there will be tax rises to come outside the narrow range of measures that Labour trailed before the election. They say that's because there is this £22 billion black hole left in the country's finances by the Conservatives that they were unaware of before the public went to the polls. The Tories obviously contest that and claim that these are all, you know, contingencies and liabilities that, you know, the government, the Labour Party knew about. So it's mired in sort of political back and forth as both parties try and shape the narrative. But certainly, you know, Keir Starmer is using his moment behind the podium today to try and hammer that message home.
Mm-hmm. I want to hear another little bit of Keir Starmer speaking earlier, because he talked about how bad things were during the riots over the summer. Let's hear it.
Every day of that disorder, literally every day, we had to check the precise number of prison places and where those places were to make sure that we could arrest, charge and prosecute people quickly. Not having enough prison places is about as fundamental a failure as you can get. And those people throwing rocks, torching cars, making threats, they didn't just know the system was broken. They were betting on it.
It's interesting, isn't it? And he was asked a number of times, I understand, during the question and answer session at the end about that experience during the riots and that problem that he faces now on prison places, Lucy.
Well, he did indeed, but he also tried to use the example of the summer riots to sort of argue that as well as this fiscal black hole left by the Conservatives, there is a societal black hole, that there has been this sort of rot that has set into the fabric of society during 14 years of Tory rule that led to the riots, and likened his task as Prime Minister to those communities that rally round and helped, you know, the cleanup efforts after the disorder broke out in recent weeks. So it's a metaphor that he extended quite widely. But certainly, you know, I think we haven't heard the last of the prison's capacity crisis. We know that this autumn there's an extension of the offender early release scheme, but it still leaves very little wiggle room for, you know, newly convicted offenders to be locked up. You know, will be quite a painful subject for Keir Starmer to grapple with as a former director of public prosecutions.
And Lucy, at the press conference afterwards, you asked Keir Starmer about ethics in public office and in politics. And there are already accusations of him giving preferential access and treatment to Labour Party donors. So how did he handle that question from you and the others that he faced on that subject?
Yeah, look, I think there is this sense that he may have created a rod for his own back by talking about overhauling ethics, you know, if he got into power, and then, you know, finding his first weeks in office mired by allegations of cronyism after, you know, a series of Labour officials and Labour linked figures, including a donor, have been appointed to senior civil service roles, often bypassing open and fair competition. That has led to this sort of sense that, you know, things aren't going to be any different under Labour than they have been in the past. He's tried to argue that, you know, getting the right people in place is more important than the process, but did confirm in response to my question at the press conference that, you know, he will get this ethics and integrity commission that he's promised up and running, and that the independent chair of that will have the ability, will have the power to launch their own investigations into any member of his government, something that has been missing from previous ethics advisers and watchdog chiefs.
And the Conservative Party already responding to that speech, accusing them of the Labour Party already of breaking promises.
Yeah, and also, you know, accusing Starmer of you know, stunts and kind of a performative speech, including the setting to sort of play politics. But they say, you know, he's not sort of following through on the promises that he made before the election, and, you know, has all these tax rises in store for the public this autumn that they claim he always intended to levy.
Is that what you expect to see in the budget, in Rachel Reeves' first budget? I mean, this, if they're trying to lay the ground, Lucy, for what's to come, I mean, the main message from that speech is the warning to expect the worst on the economic front.
Well, I think it's pitch rolling in the way that we've seen Rachel Reeves do. She told the Newsagents podcast that, you know, people should expect tax rises. You know, the other side of the coin is spending cuts, you know, as well as hearing her first budget on October the 30th, we're going to get the first year of the new Labour administration's spending plans. It's, you know, expenditure budgets for Whitehall departments. And we may see, you know, some pretty severe cuts there too. So I think very strongly that's the hint that's coming, you know, tax rises and spending cuts in store later this autumn.
Lucy, thank you very much. That's Lucy Fisher, who is Whitehall editor with the Financial Times. Now, the father of Ella Mills, who died in a kayaking tragedy last year, will join us next to remember his daughter and to explain to us why he's raising money for charity in her name. That's coming up after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.